Sunday,
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. And we will be joined shortly by one of the great composers of all time. And this man has written some songs that may be your favorite song ever. For instance, let's listen to a track one in here, Randy. This is a song everybody will know. It is one of my favorite songs. I think it's the most played song around the world, ladies and gentlemen. Roberta Flack's Killing Me Softly. Yes.
Killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly.
Okay.
With his song.
Should I have one on?
Yeah. All right, folks, ladies and gentlemen. The man who wrote Killing Me Softly, as well as Happy Days, and tons of songs, including Love Boat, Love American Style, and many, many more. Ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Fox, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Tim. Thanks for asking me to come on your show.
Thanks for coming by, man. You know, this is, I believe, the most played song around the world, isn't it?
Well, it's played a lot. I know that.
But I thought at one point it won like an award for being the most played song 1 year and several years in a row.
You know what? We won the Grammy for it in 1973.
Right. You should win another one for it.
We should win another one. If they gave another one, wouldn't that be nice? Well, we had another big hit with it, you know, many years later with the Fugees.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that was just as big,
yeah.
Even bigger than Roberta's record.
Is that right?
It was, yeah. They sold about 20 million albums or something.
Is that right? Wow, look at you. And let me do the quick math. I know you get $3 per song. $60 million.
$60 million. Maybe twice that. Who knows?
Wow. All right. All right, folks. Charlie Fox is with us, and he has written some of the great songs of all time. And we're going to play track number 5 here. Everybody will remember this song, and it takes a lot of people back to the 70s into a much different time, a much better time, in my opinion. And everybody sat around on a Tuesday at 8 o'clock and watch this show every single week.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you. These days are ours.
Happy and free.
Happy days.
These days are ours.
Share them with me.
Oh,
goodbye, gray sky. Hello, blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. So right, it can't be wrong. Rocking and rolling all week long.
I think this was. Was it Tuesday at 8 o'clock? I believe that's when the show came on.
You know, it's funny. I have no recollection of that. But I do remember Tuesday at 8 o'clock when I was growing up.
Right.
Which maybe will date me a little bit now. But Tuesday at 8 o'clock in New York was the Milton Berle Show.
Oh, is that right?
That's what I remember for Tuesday at 8 o'clock. You. And if Happy Days was Tuesday at 8 o'clock, great.
Yeah, this it really was. But I mean,
his footsteps.
But growing up and listening to these theme songs, you know, people actually remember the theme songs more than they remember anything else about the show. Like, for instance, when you play... We're going to play this song here, track number 8, and instantly everybody knows what this show is because of the theme song.
Love, exciting and new.
I mean, people don't remember a specific episode. And they may not remember some of the characters' names, but everybody remembers the song.
Well, it's awfully nice to know that.
It is absolutely true.
You know, when you get a chance to write these theme songs, you start from a blank canvas, obviously.
Right.
And it's a new show. I mean, no one knows. When I get to see a show, it's not really even a show yet. It's maybe a thought, it's an idea.
Right.
Or maybe there's a pilot. Maybe
right.
There's a pilot, but at the same time, The characters haven't been fully developed. You know, we don't know what's going to happen in episode two yet.
Right.
We have a kind of an idea what the show's all about.
Now, when they come to you and they say, Charlie, we want you to write this song.
Right.
Do you write it and then you hope they like it, or you write it and whatever you've written, that's what they're going to go with because you are the master?
They never just go with it only because I'm the master or anyone else is the master. They go with it because they like it.
Yeah, but don't they? I mean, when you go into a room, now let's say, now specifically this song, The Love Boat, you know, for The Love Boat, is this the first version you wrote of it?
It is.
It
yeah,
is.
I mean, well, I'll tell you with this one, before it was a television series,
right.
It was a movie.
Right.
2-hour movie, and we did a few of them. And
right.
It was just a theme. There was no lyric in it. And then when we went to series, I said to Aaron Spelling,
right.
I said, you know, I think if we get a good lyric to this, we could turn it into a song. And he thought it was a great idea. And I asked Paul Williams to join me on that.
Right.
And he wrote Love, Exciting, and New. I wrote da-da-da-da-da-da.
Now, when you played it, did you play it for like 20 executives when you went in and initially played it for them?
You just asked about a funny story, which I'm going to tell you.
Oh, excellent.
This was a very unusual time because when I go to play a new theme or a new song, I usually come prepared. You know, I can play it on a cassette or a CD, a DVD, whatever, you know, whatever
right.
works. I'll do a whole fancy demo on it. So I showed up at Aaron Spelling's office, and he was expecting the song, and he kind of rubbed his hands together like saying, oh, boy, what'd you bring me? He was fully prepared to like it.
Right.
And I said, I think Paul and I wrote a pretty good song. I said, do you have a tape machine that I could play? And he said, tape machine? No, we have no tape machines here. I said, how about a cassette? I have a cassette also. I made a good demo. I said, cassette, let's see. Let me ask my secretary. So he gets on the phone with the secretary, and she comes back in a few minutes. There's no cassettes there.
The guy's worth $1 billion. Doesn't have anything to play it on.
Nothing. So I said, all right, well, here we are on the lot of 20th Century Fox. That's where Aaron Spelling's office was.
Right.
I said, I will do it live at the piano. I'll just sing it. She said, okay, great. Let's find a piano someplace. And the secretary came back in a little while and said, there's no piano available. So I'm like, how am I going to play a song for him, you know, and accompany myself on the kazoo?
Wait, what, did you have to go down to, like, Colton Piano Store?
No. See, here's what I did. I said, all right, Aaron, here goes. Love.
Oh, and you sang?
Exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you. The love. Anyway.
I wish I had the videotape of that.
I went on and on and on, and you know what? The curious thing was he liked it.
He loved it, I imagine. But I imagine also you were his go-to guy for all of these series.
I did a lot of stuff with Aaron. Yeah,
I mean, I think, did you do Fantasy Island? Or?
I didn't, no. But, you know, actually Doug Kramer, too. It was Aaron Spelling and Doug Kramer. Now, Doug Kramer, when I first came to work in Hollywood, he was a president of Paramount Television. And I did Love American Style for Paramount Television.
Oh, yeah. I love that show.
So then Doug went over, and he was partners with Aaron Spelling, and Doug called me and said, we're doing, there it is.
Yeah. Right.
He said, we're doing kind of a Love American Style on the water.
Perfect.
So it was the same kind of genre, but a different song, a different message, you know, different characters. And
Well, you know, let's start this song over again. Again, not a lot of people can tell you anything specifically about Love American Style, but almost everybody I know can either hum or sing this song. Here it is.
A star-spangled night, my love,
come to me.
You can rest your head on my shoulder while by the dawn's early light, my love, I will defend your right to try.
Love, American style, freer than the land of the free.
Early 70s?
This was 1969.
69.
Yeah.
And I remember this. This was a little racy for us to watch because I was only 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah, for you at that time, it would have been a little racy. Yeah.
Yeah. But now racy is, pornography.
Now racy really is people are really like under the sheets, and they're really half naked, if not naked. You know, no, this was innocent 70s.
This is amazing. But I remember listening and watching these shows in reruns, but I'm watching also, when I was 6 or 7 years old in a much different time. I mean, 1969, this song comes out, the show comes out, we land on the moon. It was a little, the valley. There was nothing in the valley in 1969.
And we all wore bell bottoms.
Yeah, exactly.
How seriously can you take us with bell bottoms?
Yeah. All right, Charlie Fox is with us. And again, he has written some of the best and greatest theme songs in the history of television, as well as some of the songs that everybody knows, like Killing Me Softly and Ready to Take a Chance Again. Which is track number 2. And this is also remember, I think it was the Dudley Moore movie, right?
Yeah.
Ready to Take a Chance Again.
And Chevy Chase.
And Chevy Chase.
And Goldie Hawn, yeah.
Oh, you're right. Here it is.
I live in a shell, safe from the past, and doing okay, but not very well. Crisis arises, my life goes along as it should. It's all very nice, but not very good. And I'm ready to take a chance again. Ready to put my love on the line with you. Been
Foul Play, and then did Barry Manilow also sing it in the movie or for the movie?
Oh yeah, this is actually the version that was on the air.
It was in
the film. And actually, the interesting story about this is almost like a book song. In the script itself that Colin Higgins wrote and for the movie he directed, it said that there should be a song called Taking Chances. At the beginning of the movie, you see Goldie Hawn at a party, and she's been through a bad divorce, and she's not really interested in men. And Chevy Chase comes in. This is his first big role, actually.
Right.
After Saturday Night Live. And he comes into the party looking kind of glib, but Chevy, she was still falling down and everything.
Right.
And then he was trying to hit her with the right line. So he said one of the great approach lines of all time when he saw Goldie Hawn. He says, you're a nice girl and I'm a nice guy, so you want to take a shower? So she didn't think he was the right guy. Anyway, then it cuts, and she is driving her car, a little beautiful red, yellow Volkswagen on the beautiful coast of San Francisco.
Right.
And the script says that while she's driving her car, she's singing along with the big hit song of the day called Taking Chances. So we had to write what was hopefully going to be the big hit song of the day.
Oh, wow.
And Norman Gimbel came up with Ready to Take a Chance Again because she already had a relationship.
Right.
And actually, something? I can't say how many people have told me they were married a second time to this song.
Is that right?
Ready to Take a Chance Again.
Oh, that is great.
So now she's humming along with the song. So as a result of it, we had to do the song first. And at that time, mid-70s, late-70s, there was no bigger singer in the whole world than Barry Manilow. And so we thought, we didn't know Barry at that time, but we thought, well, if we write a good song that he, for Barry Manilow,
right,
we could get him anyway, as sometimes luck has it,
And it's a major, major hit.
It became a major hit.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of his major hits as well.
Yeah, and Barry's wonderful about it. He's been doing it all these years, and we just went to Vegas a few months ago.
Right.
He invited us up there. And even though it's always in a show, this particular show that does now at Vegas, which is a great show if anyone hasn't seen it, He wasn't singing the song. He was doing more of a kind of a show business, Broadway type of show, some of his songs. But he was very sweet and put the song in the show just because he knew we were coming. So
It's too bad that Brian Whitman is not here, because the biggest fanalow, major Barry Manilow fan ever, is Brian Whitman. And he's had hundreds of guests on his talk show and talk shows that he's done in the past, and he's only asked for one autograph, and that was from Barry Manilow.
Barry, yeah.
And he's such a fan that he would actually go with like a friend of his. I mean, this is a 35-year-old man, and he would go with another 34 or 35-year-old guy. They'd stand in line together and go to Barry Manilow.
But, you know, Barry's audiences really span the generations. I mean, first of all, when you go to see his concerts, they absolutely adore him.
Right.
Women of any age, guys, I mean, he's just a great performer. There are people who are great singers, which he is.
Right.
He's a great performer.
I know, but I'm saying it takes a really dedicated fan to be a heterosexual and stand in line with another heterosexual guy.
Well, he has a lot of fans.
It's like you and if you and my dad were standing in line for Barry Manilow, you would want your wives with you.
We would look a lot. Your dad and me would look a lot. Well, I did a picture with your dad. You know that.
Yes. The long shot.
The long shot. Yeah. And we had a great time too. Actually, what people don't, most people don't know. You may not even know. We wrote a song together, your dad and I, that he sang.
Is that right?
With Ice-T.
Oh, yeah, The Long Shot, yeah.
And the long song was called The Long Shot.
Yeah, the theme song.
It was a rap song. So if you can picture Ice-T, this is before he came to be really nasty and all that.
Right.
Now he's a great actor.
Who, Ice-T or my dad?
No, your dad is always nice.
Oh, I see. Okay. But yeah.
I never knew your dad when he was nasty.
Yeah. You know, by the way, at that point in my dad's life and Ice-T's life, their rap careers were about at the same level,
right,
and Ice-T really took off. And my dad sort of like wandered around in the rap world, never really caught on.
He said the track too long.
Yeah. All right, Charlie Fox is with us, one of the great composers in Hollywood. And there are a lot of people out there who are perhaps they're in their late teens, early 20s, 30s, 40s, maybe even 50s, I don't know. And you're looking to write music and sell it in Hollywood. Perhaps Charlie Fox, who's a very giving man as well, and we're going to talk about a charity that he's doing, speaking of giving, and maybe he can give you some advice on how to do this, on how to break into the music world when it comes to television and movie business. It's rather difficult, but it's not impossible. And here are the phone numbers, 520-9710. That's 520-9710. And 888-520-9710. And real quickly, let's mention the charity. It's you're going to be performing a week from Monday with a lot of pretty big celebrities, huh?
I'm very excited about the show that we're putting on. It's for the organization known as the Fulfillment Fund. And this is really, truly one of the great charities. It was started by Gary Gitnick about 30 years ago. And
right.
They actually help about 2,000 students every year.
Is that right?
They go into areas of Los Angeles and other cities where, believe it or not, the dropout rate of high school is 55%.
Wow.
45% graduate.
Sounds like my house. Sounds like growing up in the Conway house, 55% dropout.
And so they go into the areas which are the most disadvantaged, mostly minority students, you know, who have come from very difficult backgrounds. And they have they mentor that. It's a lot of people give their time to mentor these students. They help them with scholarships. And not only in high school, but through high school, and very oftentimes these are the only students in a family who ever get onto college or maybe even finish high school.
Is that right?
And they help them into college, scholarships. You know, when you're off in college, you get gift packages from your parents and all that. Just,
right.
Hey, we love you, do good on your tests.
Right.
So most of these kids don't have that. They just don't have that experience. The parents don't know that.
And you actually put all together, you know, put the people together.
Not
and
me. No. But actually my wife, Joan.
Right.
Joan Fox and Janet Cooper, the co-presidents of a satellite organization, the Friends of Fulfillment Fund. And there are a number of people who get together, and they do this. They send out 2,000 packages at a time, a couple times a year. And it's just, you know, little things that encourage people to go on and give them all kinds of love. And it's
your wife and Mrs. Cooper,
right.
Joan Cooper.
Janet Cooper.
Janet Cooper. I'm sorry. Janet Cooper and Joan Fox.
Yeah.
And those two women deserve your support because we tortured those women growing up.
You remember that?
Yeah, for about 16 or 17 years, man. They were the, it was Mark's mom and your son, Robbie Fox's mom.
I didn't know you were going to get into that.
And God bless them, man. They really put up with a lot of crap when we were younger. And when is the concert is a week from Monday?
Okay, so the concert's a week from Monday, June 30th, at the Geffen Theater, which is a great theater.
In Westwood?
In Westwood.
Right.
And what we're doing is, about a year ago, I did a little concert in someone's house, actually Janet Cooper's house. We had about 60 or 70 people and raised quite a bit of money.
Wow.
I just did a little concert of some of my songs. So now, based on that, we decided to do it in a bigger way.
Right.
And so we've taken the Geffen Theater on a Monday night, because, you know, they have shows the other nights.
Right.
We have some of the all-time great songwriters coming out and they're going to perform. These are the people We call the show The Songs of Our Lives because these are the people who wrote the songs that everyone knows.
Right.
That we all sing. I mean, like Alan Bergman, you know, who wrote The Way We Were, you know.
Is that right? The Way We Were. Excellent.
How They Keep the Music Playing and The Windmills of Your Mind. Hal David, you know, with along with Burt Bacharach, wrote Raindrops Keep Falling in My Head and What the World Needs Now.
Yeah.
And, you know,
this is the greatest songs.
Jerry Lieberman, Mike Stoller, the great Lieberman Stoller team, Stand By Me, Hound Dog, all
wow.
the great Presley hits. Is that all there is? Melissa Manchester is going to be on our show, who wrote you know, some of the great songs, Midnight Blue and Whenever I Call Your Friend.
Wow.
And, of course, the team, the great songwriting team, husband and wife, Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil, who wrote, now you mentioned before the most performed song. They actually wrote, Mann and Weil, actually wrote the most performed song in the whole catalog of BMI's, I think, 4 million or 8 million songs, I'm not sure, but millions of songs, You've Lost That Loving Feeling.
Oh, they wrote that song?
Number
you
one
lost
performer.
That loving feeling. I love that song.
Yeah, we all love that
all
song.
All right, so it's going to be happening on Monday. Now, how do people get tickets? What
let
number?
Let me finish.
Oh, sure. Okay.
I'm not finished.
Okay.
We have a long list. We have Paul Williams.
Oh, Paul Williams. Oh, yeah, we can forget that guy.
Evergreen. We've only just begun. My good friend Paul. And also, another great surprise, Bill Withers, who wrote Ain't No Sunshine and Lean on Me and Just the Two of Us.
Wow.
You know the song. And also Bill's daughter, Corey's going to sing with him.
So they're all going to be performed by the original composers.
So this concert is the concert of the songwriters who wrote the songs,
wow.
singing their own songs, and talking about the songs and telling the little stories, just like I just told you now about
right.
About my love.
And
song.
What songs are you going to sing? Kids Court?
Well, Kids Court, you remember that.
Yeah.
People don't know. This is a song that Tim and I wrote.
Yeah, it's a song for a pilot that I did that didn't really go anywhere. But what songs are you going to perform on?
It sounds like I've collaborated with everyone in the whole yeah. family. Who have I missed, Tim?
Yeah, Kelly, I think, is the only one that put a song together with you. But what songs are you going to be performing on Monday?
Well, I'm going to do some of the ones you played.
Right.
Kill Me Soft, I'll sing that.
Right.
And I'll do a medley of some of my television themes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, folks, what is the phone number if people want to get tickets to this great event?
Well, probably the best way to do it is to go online.
Right.
And go www.fulfillment.org.
Fulfillment.org.
Right.
Okay.
That's probably the best place.
Okay. Fulfillment.org. And we're going to play a song or two here and then come back and talk to Charlie Fox. If you'd like to ask him a question, again, one of the world's greatest composers is here tonight. A treat for everybody listening in Southern California and on the internet around the world. This is the only show that Charlie Fox is doing tonight, so you can't hear him on any other station or any other show. Is that right?
Right.
That's right. Okay. I want to make sure. All right. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Get your tickets to this big concert, fulfillment.org. Fulfillmentfund.org?
Well, I think that would get you there, too. But let me give you a number also, just
sure.
in case.
Okay.
What the heck? 310-201-5033. Those are the people handling the tickets.
Okay.
Fulfillment.org.
Fulfillment.org. Fulfillment.org. All right, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Charlie Fox is with us. We're live at 97.1 Free FM.
And so I came to see him to listen for a while. And there he was, this young boy, a stranger.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. The world's greatest composer sitting in front of me, Charlie Fox. He has written the songs that everybody remembers from TV and the movies, as well as number one hits like Killing Me Softly, Roberta Flack's Killing Me Softly, and Ready to Take a Chance Again, Barry Manilow, a huge, huge hit. And I still can't believe how much it takes and how truly talented you are, and how you can, you know, take a project and turn a relatively, benign show into something that we remember forever just through the theme song. I mean, it's a huge, super talent.
Well, thanks for all those nice words. You know, with television, which you really have, now it's all changed. You used to have a minute to a minute and a half to establish the identity of a show.
Right.
you're talking about Happy Days before. Henry Winkler once told me that every time he goes on those talk shows, they're always followed by the Happy Days. He's almost has a tale.
Right.
He always says a Happy Days tale. That's just the
right.
You know, the challenge is to make something that's attractive, that captures the spirit and the energy of the show and the style of the show, and maybe tell the audience something about the characters and something that won't grow old with age, because if you know, you hope to be on the air for a long time, maybe
right.
10 years, 12 years. Or maybe forever, you know. And you don't want people to say, oh, that's a theme again. I can't stand it. You know, you really want it to sound fresh and bright each time. So
yeah, but you're probably proud of that. I mean, when you come across, you're traveling somewhere and you come across, you know, you flip on the TV somewhere in a hotel and you see either the Love Boat or Happy Days, you probably think to yourself, yeah, I wrote that like 30 years ago and people are still enjoying
well,
it.
Not only that, we've been in countries, you know, we've been in Germany where Fonz is in German, you know,
right.
and all kinds of different languages in Italian and... That's fun. That's
yeah.
fun.
Now that must be great. All right, folks, if you'd like to talk to Charlie Fox, he is with us tonight, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Troy in West L.A., you're on 97.1. How are you, sir?
Conway.
Hey.
Hey, I talked to you last week. It's Troy from Froman's Deli.
Hey, how are you, dude?
Good.
All right.
Hey, Mr. Fox, I used to deliver to you.
You did? Oh, from Froman's Deli.
Yeah. What was your favorite dish?
My favorite fish. You tell me. Sounds like you know.
Chinese chicken salad.
Right.
That is exactly right.
Right.
Good for you.
Oh, my God.
I just want to say hello.
Yeah.
Well,
and
nice
I used to
nice
deliver to Barry Manilow also.
Oh, really?
That's right.
What was his favorite dish?
He just ordered sandwiches.
Sandwiches. Okay.
For him and the crew.
Fantastic. That yeah. You didn't kill anybody with that food.
All right, guys. Later.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks
there
for
it goes,
up
everybody.
Good food.
I guess that guy, I think his family used to own Froman's Deli out in like White Oak and Ventura.
Yeah.
And I still remember that as a brand new deli, even though it was built in the 70s or so.
It was, yeah. And actually, I was there not so long ago. It's still good.
Yeah.
Still good.
I remember the valley out there, Dupar's and, you know, the whole run there.
Well, Dupar's eventually turned into Jerry's Deli.
Yeah.
Jerry's
Deli. Yeah, it went to Copper Penny, and there was like a bunch of restaurants right there. All right, folks, let's talk to, John in Hollywood? You're on with Charles Fox. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it, man.
I'm a big fan of all your songs, obviously, and I'm a musician myself, and just like Tim suggested earlier, I'm a musician who would like a little bit of advice. There aren't exactly nightclubs where I can go play the piano or mellower music. There's mostly just, you know, rock clubs and,
right.
and stuff like that. So how do you showcase such a specific type of music?
So you say specific. Now, does you like to play like a mellow instrumental music? Do you sing also?
Yes, both.
And you write your own songs?
Yes.
Are you like a Billy Joel type?
A lot of classical stuff, a lot of instrumental stuff. Yeah. My mother calls it soap opera music.
Can't you play it in, like, Nordstrom's?
Yeah, I guess so.
No, but there's got to be some place, aren't you?
Well, I don't
there
know.
Are places.
To be honest with you, I really don't know. But I mean, it sounds like something that would be very nice to have in a restaurant. I mean, sometimes we're going to these restaurants and all you can hear is the beat of the bass drum, you know?
Right.
Which is the least appetizing thing I can think of musically. So if you play those nice songs and sing and you know, your own things, you should be able to find places that showcase them. I wish I could tell you where. I don't know them. But if you find out, let me know, because those are the restaurants I'd like to go.
Hey, John.
That's
you have original music?
I got tons of original music, and I've gotten a couple of songs in, you know, friends' indie films and stuff like that. And you know, I've
we'll put
really
you on hold and get an address. Send us some music. We'll play it on the air.
Hey, thanks a lot.
All right, hold on one second, all right?
Good luck
Thank you.
All right, hold on. Well, you know, sometimes we do that where we say, hey, send us a CD. We'll play it on the air. And then you never hear from the guy. You know, like it's an opportunity to play
that's
his stuff.
That's a nice offer. To
yeah,
him,
but, well, we do that. I mean, it's the least we can do. But some people then don't take us up on the offer. They don't either. They don't get around to it. They're lazy about it or whatever.
You know, all he can do is offer. But that's a very nice offer.
Like,
I hope he does take you up on it.
I hope he does. Like this, there was a guy in. I was on at Kmart on Fairfax there in 3rd Street. And there was a guy in the parking lot selling his rap CD, right? And he was selling the CD for $5.
Right.
And he says, hey, do you want to buy a CD? And I said, I really don't have any money on me. I said, but if you give me one, I'll play it on the air, and maybe we'll give out your phone number. If people like it, you know, maybe you can sell 100 of them. He
right.
says, no, I need $5 from you, or else you're not getting one.
He wasn't forward-thinking.
Yeah.
He wasn't thinking promotion. He was thinking about lunch.
Yeah, I guess he was, man. He was thinking about
doing. I'll be honest with you. I sometimes do that. I'll buy those records from people. We were in Central Park the other day, a few days ago, John and I, and when we walk in and we stopped. There was a very nice band playing.
Yeah,
and they're playing nice jazzy things, and they had a CD, And, you know, I gave him more than $5. I mean,
is that right?
Yeah, I did. And,
look at you.
I'm happy to have it. And sometimes just, you know, just see these nice kind of ethnic groups on the street. You know,
right.
Rap, I'm not going to buy that one. but I mean, like music of Honduras, sometimes you have the little penny whistles and the flutes and all that.
Right.
I'll buy it.
You'll pick that up.
Why not?
Good show.
Yeah.
All right, Charlie Fox is with us. 520-9710, 888-520-9710. The concert that he is putting together happens a week from Monday. And some of the great composers, and you'll recognize almost every single song, including Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head.
The Way We Were.
The Way We Were. Wow. How do you beat that?
Hound Dog, Melissa Manchester going to sing Midnight Blue. And You've Lost That Loving Feeling. How about
yeah.
that for a great song? And, of course, Paul Williams wrote so many wonderful songs like Only Just Begun and The Rainbow Connection.
Yes. All right, folks. Get tickets to this great event. There are only a few left, so call them today. Or early tomorrow. I'm going to give you a phone number here. And again, it's all for the Fulfillment Fund. And it's fulfillment.org. And if you go to the website, you'll see these three young, lovely ladies here who are probably recipients of some of the funds and some of the help. And what they do is they go into cities that are fairly dangerous to hang in. And try to give some of these kids a break and a leg up and get them through college. It's a great cause. Fulfillment.org is the cause. And even if you're not going to be in town or you can't go to the concert, if you want to donate to the fund, I'm sure they'd be more than happy to accept that donation.
I'm sure they would. And, and actually, at the same time, you'll be seeing a great concert. You'll really be helping a great cause, and really you'll be saving lives.
Yeah.
These are young students who need the help.
Absolutely. Fulfillment.org. Fulfillment.org, and you can get some tickets there. Or call this number and get your tickets to the concert. It's a week from Monday, 310-201-5033. That's 310-201-5033. 310-201-5033. It is Tim Conway Jr. and Charles Fox. We're live at 97.1 Free FM.
And doing okay, but not very well.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. Charles Fox is with us, and this is one of the songs you'll be able to hear a week from Monday. It is Stand By Me. Yeah. All right, some of the other songs you'll be able to hear a week from Monday at the big concert at the Geffen Center, the Geffen Theater. The Way We Were. Also, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. What the World Needs Now. Is Love, Killing Me Softly with Charles Fox, and Ready to Take a Chance Again, plus Happy Days and a couple other theme songs. Stand By Me. Let's see what else is here. You've got that love. You've lost that lovely feeling. Evergreen, Ain't No Sunshine, Lean On Me. And it's unbelievable. It's a great night. And you can get tickets to this big event. It's a week from Monday. All right, June 30th. 2008, 7:30 p.m. Gates open, or tickets, I guess the doors will open at 6:30 p.m. And here's the phone number to get these tickets. 310-201-5033. 310-201-5033. All right, Charles Fox is with us. Let's talk to Steve in Los Angeles. You're on 97.1. How are you, sir?
Yeah, how are you tonight, everybody?
All right, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm a big fan, and I know you've done everything from like H.R. Puff and stuff to Happy Days to Laverne and Shirley, but would you say that your favorite song is your Jim Croce song, or do you still like Killing Me Softly?
You know, that's an interesting question. I always loved that song, and I remember...
What was the Jim Croce song?
I Got a Name.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
You wrote that, too. Look
yeah.
at you, man.
Well, it's
must always... be. But do you just does the Brinkstruck every Tuesday just come over to the Fox House and just unloads? Huh?
You know what? That was a very interesting story. Thanks for bringing that up. There was originally a different singer set to sing that song for a movie called Last American Hero.
Okay.
With Jeff Bridges.
Oh yeah.
And so we wrote it for that movie, and there was another singer set to sing it, and he took a long time to give us a record, and it got to the point where someone at Fox called me and said, you know, if this record is not forthcoming, we're gonna have to go with like a studio singer.
Right.
So we got nervous, and we decided that. Then we heard from the singer who called me, and said he didn't think the song was gonna be a hit. He didn't want to do it. And I said, well, you know, That's fine. I mean, everyone has a different opinion about what can be a hit.
Right.
But the fact that he waited so long put us behind the eight ball. So we very quickly got on the phone and played this for now, Jim Croce was just an upcoming young singer at the time.
He had
his record out called Operator.
Right.
His first record climbing up the charts. And we played it for him over the phone. And over the phone, he decided he would sing it for the movie.
Wow.
So I went to a track. I spoke to producers, into the studio, rather. I spoke to his producers and got his key and his range. And I went to a studio in 20th Century Fox here in Hollywood. And I brought the track to New York to work with Jim. And I came to his producer's office, and Jim was there to meet me. And he said, "How you doing?" He said, "You know, before we even get into anything," he said, "can I hear that song again?" He only heard it the one time over the phone. So I sat at the piano, and I played it for him. And he said to me that he knew he had to sing the song when he first heard it because it reminded him of his father.
Wow.
Who died at a young age. And, of course, he said, never lived to fulfill his dreams. And, you know, tragically, the same fate happened to Jim because he died in a plane crash.
How old was Jim when he died?
He was probably early 30s.
Early 30s,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that, man.
But he was really a great guy, and so I'm always touched to think about it. And then after I played that song for him, he said, "Can I play a new song for you?" And he took out his guitar, and he played a new song he just finished called "I Have to Say I Love You" in a song, which went on to become a big hit.
Oh, yeah, right. Wow.
And, I always remember that as a nice moment.
That's great.
Of songwriters trading songs back and forth. You know?
That is a great story. I mean, oh, you got it? All right, here's Jim Croce. You got a name. One of the great hits of all time, written by Charles Fox. Again, folks, we're going to play this song for you in a second, but don't forget to get your tickets to the big event, 310-201-5033. It's a week from Monday.
Or better even yet, call, get online and do it on the fulfillment, www.fulfillment.org.
Yeah, and if you can't make it for some reason, you'd like to donate to the cause, I'm sure they'd love to entertain your donation. Fulfillment.org. And for guys who went to LAUSD like I did, fulfillment is spelled FULFILLMENT. Fulfillment.
By the way, you know, there are other ways people can help this organization too, because they need mentors. And there are people who can, you know, mentor individual students. People could provide an internship or
is that right?
Yeah, like sponsor a college scholarship.
Or probably not me.
Make a donation. Or there are a lot of ways to help. But you know what? It really helps the people that need it the most. Those are young students, and
right.
we know the future lies with them.
Well, you know, I actually wanted to be a big brother at one point, and Doug Steckler and I went to sign up. He made it, and they didn't accept me. Because they asked me, they said, "What would a perfect day with one of the 9 or 10 year old kids be?" And I said, "Well, I'd like to take them out to Santa Anita, show them what the racetrack's all about."
Are you serious?
And if you had like a 16 year old, then I could have a couple of beers and he could drive home. They go, "Get out of here! What's wrong with you?" All right, we're going to end this with Jim Croce's song. Charlie Fox, thank you very much for coming in.
Oh, thanks.
What a real treat this has been, everybody.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun.
Fulfillment.org. Fulfillment.org. And the concert is a week from Monday. It's Tim Conway Jr. Charlie Fox is with us. Got to thank you for coming on. And we're live at 97.1 Free FM.
I got a name. Like the singing bird and the croaking toad. I got a name. I got a name, and I carry it with me like my daddy did. But I'm living a dream that became.